Well, hey, he may have helped save the global economy a couple of years back, but Dominique Strauss-Kahn was denied bail yesterday in a Manhattan courtroom. The managing director of the International Monetary Fund arrested over the weekend by the NYPD for allegedly sexually assaulting a Manhattan hotel maid. Shockwaves across Europe, political and economic. Here to talk about it is Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner at the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
There's something kind of Shakespearean here. I mean, this guy, I look back at some of his speeches and his seminars. I mean, there is not a more impenetrably erudite economist speaker that I can remember. You know, he doesn't have a lot of flamboyant personality qualities. Yet, he certainly steered the IMF into a fundamentally different role in the last 5-10 years, and certainly the last 2 or 3 years during the financial meltdown. Now, without him, does the IMF have an idea of where to go from here?
Well, you know, they've got a very deep staff, and so, you know, if he departs because of this, it won't take them on a totally different track necessarily. But one of the interesting things to look at from during his tenure was that, you know, the IMF really did not play the biggest role during the financial crisis. When you look back at the 1990s, the role the IMF played with crises that you had in Latin America and Asia, it was far bigger. But in this financial crisis, perhaps because we're dealing with America and major European countries, the central bankers of those countries were playing a bigger role. So Dominique is a very important global economic thinker, but he wasn't, you know, the number one person leading the charge on what to do about this financial crisis.
Indeed. And I think the IMF changing its role from being a savior of emerging markets and emerging economies, where it has percentage-wise a much bigger role because the economies are smaller, to being more of a advisor, a kind of a cheerleader urging cooperation and interdependence among European central bankers and Western bankers and Asian financial leaders. That's a fundamentally different role. Is the IMF as a cheerleader for economic cooperation something that's going to stay with us, or does it go back to the, you know, funding dams in Brazil kind of role?
Well, you know, it really depends whether countries continue to be able to take care of themselves. So, you know, again, in this crisis, the U.S. was able to pull all these levers and put all this money into the system. Right now, Europe is able to pull all of its own levers and make up for the losses. But if you hit a point where over in Europe, for example, they can't take care of Greece or Portugal or one of these countries, and they look to the international community for help, the IMF would make sense to be the place you go to do that, to get broader world international aid. But that would be a real departure for the IMF because, of course, Europe is not an emerging economy, and traditionally the IMF did work with emerging economies.
Well, to what extent does the director of the IMF really kind of guide or point the organization into new directions? I mean, does it necessarily mean that with the departure of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, assuming that he's departing, that we're going to see the IMF change policies or change its directions?
Well, it'll depend who would succeed him. But, you know, actually, the IMF policies, a lot of them are driven by the countries like America that fund the IMF.
Right.
So, I mean, this direction is something that's happened really because the global community wants this. So, you know, it may not change direction all that much.
He's been an advocate for single currency in Europe and for economic cooperation even broader outside of Europe, thinking in terms of maybe a single global currency, although he's mentioned it just on a few occasions. Does this man have a body of economic work that is intellectually significant in the same way as, say, a Bernanke or a you know, Paul Volcker even? Or is he just more of a politician who has an economic expertise and when he's gone, you know, that's all he's sort of forgotten?
You know, a lot of his views on the euro will be a historical, at least a footnote, because he's been one of the big cheerleaders for the euro. Of course, that's been the big economic experiment of the last couple decades over in Europe. And some people think it may prove only to be an experiment if it doesn't last through this turmoil over there. So he'll remain as a thinker on that, just as Bernanke is a thinker we all look to for his thoughts on the Great Depression of the 1930s.
Anything. I mean, of course, he's accused, right? Innocent until proven guilty in a courtroom yesterday. Denied bail as a flight risk because he was pulled off a plane, presumably.
And you know what's interesting about the denied bail, which I did not realize, we, the United States, we don't have an extradition treaty with France.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons.
The Roman Polanski issue, right?
Right. That's one of the reasons they did not give him bail.
I see. Well, you know, is there something reminiscent of the kind of pride goeth before a fall, say the Madoff situation in thinking about, I mean, this is different. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's a, you know, sort of a sex crime. But still, is there some sense that people can be deluded into thinking that they're sort of bigger than mere humans?
Well, you know, the chatter among a lot of reporters yesterday was really about his hotel bill. So definitely
the $3,000 a night suite.
Well, there was definitely this feeling like, look at this guy who leads other countries to bailouts and who tells people, you know, not to spend so much money staying in this expensive hotel. But I talked to the IMF yesterday and they were very insistent that the IMF was not paying his bill. He was paying it himself. And also that the bill was only $525, not $3,000, because he got a discount online on a, you know, a website online.
I see. So Priceline.com, that's where he was going, right. Something like that. All right, finally, you know, it's a little early yet, but we're going to have a discussion later, and our listeners have already started this discussion. What do you think would be a good novel title if someone were to chronicle this latest Great Depression? Some people have suggested that The Grapes of Wrath is a great chronicle of the original Depression of the 1930s. Any thoughts?
My house is underwater.
Well, that's especially true lately.
20,000 leagues underwater. Here, listen to what one of our listeners said.
Hi, this is Jeff Seymour in Blackwell, Oklahoma. And the name of my book, The Grapes of Math, the rise of the housing bubble that led to a worldwide economic slowdown.
So Jeff rips off Grapes of Wrath, which ripped off the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which ripped off the Book of Revelations. There you go.
Pretty good.
Louise Story, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times and The Ticket.